Good afternoon. I'm Susie Ahn, and this is The Rundown. A second summer heat wave is hitting the Chicago area this week. The National Weather Service predicts highs in the 90s. Overnight temperatures will be in the high 70s. And as my colleague Juan Pablo Ramirez-Franco reports, excessive temperatures typically mean poor air quality. The National Weather Service forecasts that temperatures will reach the mid-90s. Tuesday and Wednesday will be the hottest days. Excessive heat also bakes ambient air pollution and forms smog, which can trigger respiratory issues in sensitive populations. Over the weekend, a sweeping bipartisan housing bill became law in the U.S. My colleague Esther Yoon-Ji Kang reports the new bipartisan law aims to speed up the building of homes to meet a housing shortage. It expands access to financing and restricts home purchases by large investors. Bob Palmer with Housing Action Illinois says the law could help some would-be homeowners and middle-income families, but
for Illinois' most severe housing needs, like for other states, those are renters with the lowest incomes, people experiencing homelessness, we really need more direct federal investment right now.
Palmer also says it will take years to see the law's impact because most of the provisions depend on either the Trump administration and or Congress taking specific actions like issuing new rules or making funds available. Crime on Chicago's trains and buses is dropping. My colleague Cam Rodriguez reports CTA officials say a security surge over the last 6 months has led to a 30% decline in all reported transit crime. The Transit Authority's interim boss touted those numbers during the agency's board meeting last week. WBEZ analyzed Chicago Police Department data and found the drop was even more dramatic on the Red Line. It saw a 47% decline in all crime and a 76% dip in violent crime. Chicago Police and the Cook County Sheriff's Office beefed up Red Line security earlier this year after the Trump administration threatened to cut funding without a revised security plan. Chicago Public Transit has seen a major overhaul since the June 1st implementation of the Northern Illinois Transit Authority Act. The American Red Cross is in need of blood donors. The organization says they're facing an emergency shortage after a steep decline in blood donations since the end of May. People who donate before July 31st will get a free Fandango movie ticket as a thank you gift. More details at redcrossblood.org. An archival project in Chicago is seeking old photos of Latino family life. Nuestro Chicago Archives is documenting everyday Latino history in the city by collecting photos and videos taken before 2008. Block Club says the work focuses on pre-2008 images because it aims to document an era before the widespread shift from physical to digital photography. Their website launched in May. Residents can submit photos on Nuestro Chicago Archives Instagram page or through email. You're listening to The Rundown. Illinois is legally required to provide health care to people locked up in state prisons. But it's been a year since the state backed out of a massive contract with a private company charged with providing that care. And people incarcerated in Illinois say they're still not getting even basic medical attention for treatable conditions. Meanwhile, the Illinois Department of Corrections has been signing short-term deals with a different for-profit prison health care company called Centurion Health. My colleague Melba Lara spoke with Caitlin Washburn at the Chicago Sun-Times about the story.
So you heard from incarcerated people and their families who say the health care at Illinois prisons is still really bad. Can you give us an example of what people are still experiencing?
That's right. In the year since Centurion Health has taken over, not much has changed. We heard from one man named Charles King, who's over 60 years old and had gone in for some routine testing, and his prostate numbers came back really elevated and necessitated a referral to a urologist and further screening for cancer. He's waited many months now for that follow-up test and visit with a specialist. And we know that the longer that takes, and with serious conditions like cancer, that's precious time that you're wasting by not treating it.
But in a way, this is nothing new, right? I mean, can you give us an overview of what's been going on with the prison healthcare system here?
That's right. This is nothing new. Centurion's allegations are very similar to the ones that have been leveled against Wexford Health Sources, which was the previous provider for many years in Illinois. Several lawsuits were filed against Wexford over the years, and a class action lawsuit triggered a consent decree, which mandated that healthcare be improved in state prisons. And it had a very specific list of criteria, which a story I did earlier this year found that the state is falling short on the vast majority of those mandates. Centurion also comes to the state with a long list of allegations in other state prisons that people are denied care, that their care is delayed, their diseases and illnesses worsen to the point of further health complications and sometimes death.
Do you know if the Illinois Department of Corrections plans to contract with Centurion Health long term?
That is the big question. I asked IDOC that. The best they could give me was there are no updates at this time. Other than that, Governor J.B. Pritzker's office never got back to me for this story. Neither did Centurion and neither did Wexford.
As part of your reporting, you talked to the John Howard Association, which is an independent prison monitor here in Illinois. Do they have any ideas on how to address the state's troubled healthcare system in the prisons?
I spoke with Jenny Vollen-Katz, who runs that organization, and she had several important points. A big one being that state lawmakers could be doing a lot more here. They have a lot more power than myself as a reporter and the general public does to ask critical questions of IDOC, to ask them to hold their contractors accountable. Jenny had a really powerful quote where she was like, this one-year contract is for $507 million. And she said to see a number like that go toward healthcare that is still substandard and neglecting people is astonishing.
Whenever we have these conversations about how bad the prison healthcare is in Illinois, we sometimes get comments from folks who say, well, it's prison. It's not supposed to be pleasant. Why should the general public care about these issues?
For several reasons. People in prison have a constitutional right to health care, and they can't go out and go get a doctor's appointment on their own. They are dependent on the system they're incarcerated in to do that. It also costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to delay someone medical care because the treatment further down the line becomes much more expensive. The other thing is the vast majority of people return to society. So if they're returning with complex medical conditions that went untreated for many years, it's harder for them to return and be productive members of society after serving time.
Weather-wise for us, a second summer heat wave is expected to hit the Chicago area this week. The National Weather Service predicts highs in the 90s. Tonight, we're headed down to a low around 76 under clear skies. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Susie Ahn. Thanks for listening.